Hey, I'm Jason, and welcome to Season 3 of the Tales from the Pit podcast. Hello and welcome to Tales from the Pit, the behind-the-lens access to the entertainment world, the creative people involved. Today is our part two with Siobhan Cronin from the band Starset. Hope you enjoy it. So Starset's a very DIY band, and they've always been. I know, listening to your podcast, which we'll talk about in a moment, but you guys have talked about the technical aspects with different members of the band on your show, and I learned a lot by listening to you guys on there, and that's the 2020 podcast. We'll come back to that in a moment. But you guys are very involved with everything, as you said, and you're constantly adding new things and new technologies as it comes available, as you think it up, I guess, on the spot. And you said also Ron does a lot of the tour managing, and he does a lot of the technical and stuff like that. What are you involved with besides your violin? Because I know everyone in the band's got to just kind of take on whatever they can take on. Was there stuff that you started on that you just started learning and then now you do it regularly or anything like that? Or was there anything specific?
Well, I would say when it comes to like the technical ideas and any of the new things that come out, that is primarily Dustin. And, you know, Dustin and Ron are very much like business partners in this. Yep. So, you know, I would say that Dustin is kind of the like visionary creative head, and Ron is the like, you know, he's the person that figures out how it's all going to work. And he's the spreadsheet guy, you know, which he'll admit to, like he loves figuring out like how we're going to get from point A to point B. What's the timeline of this? Like, so he is your guy for like logistics, you know, like operations manager. Dustin is definitely the one that's like whatever wild idea he has, he's going to have some prototype of it that we're going to have on stage, you know. And that's what was really fun and cool for me to watch, because, you know, when I first started, I think, you know, the setup was much smaller than it is now. You know, we were playing smaller venues. You know, now we've got like a huge, massive video wall. We've got the like all sorts of lasers and projections. And there have been several different iterations of the stage production. But when I first started, Dustin was using this thing that we called the emulator that was basically like a glass interface that had a projection that would come up underneath, and it would allow him. Maybe we might have had this at the festival. You know, but it was like, I'd never seen anything like that. I'm like, what is going on with this band? Like, this is just so amazing to me that like there's guys in spacesuits and there's this thing and he's pressing these things and these buttons. And, you know, I always admired that he was never afraid to like, I don't want to say fail, but like he wasn't ever worried about what could go wrong, I think, in a lot of senses, because most people would be like, this seems a little bit risky to have all this stuff going on and not really enough people to like cover it if something happens. But he always went with it, you know. And every new tour, I would show up at production rehearsals and there would be like some new thing, you know. Like the next iteration was we were all in these boxes that would have that would frost and go on and off and in tandem with like some of the production and the video and the songs, and there would be projections on the boxes. And you know, we had all sorts of like funny Spinal Tap moments with like production failures and
You guys have some, I'm sorry to interrupt, you guys had some mind-blowing, I mean, you guys are like, I can't emphasize this enough, but for a live rock band, you guys are just doing stuff way on a different level than your average rock band. And you were just talking about the board Dustin has. As Dustin's singing, I'm above on the rafters looking down over you guys' shoulder, and I'm seeing him mess with this Star Trek board like he's running the Enterprise while he's singing a show. I'm like, what the heck is going on here?
Dustin is also the type that like, you know, in the middle of the show will be like, oh, the delay settings on my vocal aren't quite right, and we'll be like going over to Ableton like adjusting something like while singing, you know. And like, that's just his personality, and it's funny that he's that way. Like I think just him as the head of this band explains so much of like why it works. And But you're right. I mean, it's like, just as an outsider coming into like an already established band, you know, I came in after sort of the story was set and two albums were already in existence. And like, I think it's so cool that like, it's more than just a band. It's like a universe, you know, and everything, whether it's the music or the production or the technology or what's happening on stage, it's like, you are entering a different world. You know, this isn't just like welcome to rock music. Like, this is welcome to the Starset universe.
Yeah, I can. Yeah. And I will, if for anyone watching this who doesn't know what Starset is, it's a must. You're a must, whether you like the music or not. It's just, you are a must see live just for your demonstration, what you guys do and what you guys deliver live. I think you'll be hooked after you see that. It's just so cool to see what you guys do and all of the new technology and new ideas that have come out of this. And then you just throw on that killer music on top of everything. It's just like, holy cow, this is a whole unique experience. You don't get this everywhere else.
Yeah. Well, it's cool because you think about, like, you know, thinking back to when I got asked to join the band, it's like, you know, it's kind of a crapshoot when you get asked to join a rock band, like that you don't know. Right. You know, right. It's like, well, who knows what type of people are in this? Who are these personalities? What's this life like? It's a bunch of guys, like, you know, but it's been so cool to see that we're all kind of kindred spirits and that we're like just really nerdy, like curious, oddball people that are like very obsessive with our own little niches, you know? So everybody's got their thing that they're super into, you know? And I think that's kind of how it works. And coming back to like the vetting process, it's like, you kind of have to be that way a little bit. Like with Corey, it's like, he's got his own niche of like, he's obsessive about sounds and sound production and synths and like, what can he do with this parameter? And Dustin's obsessed with the technology and like, you know, what is some cool AR thing that can be incorporated into the show, or like, you know, all these sort of visionary creative things that he has, and everybody's got their thing and it all kind of works together in a way that it's like, you know, it just works.
Yeah. It's such an experience. I just can't say how good it is. I just can't express enough how good it is live. You guys are just so cool.
Thank you.
And you guys, I mean, I'm in Portland, Maine. You guys also this year, I think it was this year, you did a small show at Aura. I think the acoustic show at Aura. And that's a small I think it was this year. I can't remember if it was this year or last year.
We did do, Aura is in, which city is that?
Portland, Maine.
Portland, Maine. Okay. Yeah. Aura, was it acoustic or was it the live, big live show?
Oh, maybe it was.
Okay. I remember playing in Portland. There was one show we played in Portland, Maine. I can't remember if it was Aura or not, but our production set off the fire alarm. And I just remember that like all the lights went on. And it's like,
that was a line. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. So that's another Spinal Tap moment that happens all the time where it's like, all right, well, the venue is not quite ready for our level of fog. And it's one thing to see spacemen in the dark when there's like TEDx talk lights on and you're like, all right, suddenly you're in like a college classroom. And it's like, well, this is a little weird.
I had Brian Hardeswick on last year, where he's running sound for you guys. And we were talking because he was just going over and starting with you guys at the time him and I talked. And he was talking about how crazy it was. But he was also telling me that as he was working with In This Moment, they would do the same thing where fog machines would just set off the smoke alarms in certain buildings. And
you never know.
Sometimes you just got to have the fire department on hand, ready, just in case it triggers something. Right.
I think that was probably the best possible, like from In This Moment to Starset, is I think that's like a pretty, like, you're like, all right, I'm prepared. It's very
well. Terrible. He was he was saying that it was a good transition, but you can never be prepared for Starset. It's a whole different ball of wax.
Oh, even in the band, you can never be prepared for Starset. You just never know.
So in regards to your involvement with the band, I'm just assuming, I don't know, but I'm assuming you and Brock met through the band. Is that correct?
Yeah, we did. It's a lot of people ask this because they think, oh yeah, you're the violinist because you're married to the guitar player. I'm like, no. Right. The violinist became part of the band independently, but we did meet. Yeah. We met when I joined the band. And you know, he's a huge reason that I've learned so much about like just how to take ownership of my instrument in a new way, because as a guitar player, you know, obviously, you know, we're married now and we've got like a long relationship standing, but like as artists, it's like having him as sort of my partner on stage in a lot of ways. Like he's really taught me how to think like a guitar player in some ways more than a violinist, because, you know, violinists are used to playing acoustic instruments and, you know, relying on someone else to hone in their sound. And like, right. you know, getting his perspective as a guitar player that's like a tone freak and a gear freak, and he's into all this stuff. It's like, oh no, you need this. You need this. This isn't good enough. But like, this should be better. And he's like constantly helping me improve in that regard. But yeah, so that, to answer your question, I went off on a rampage, but yeah, I met him when I joined the band. We did not know each other before.
Yep. And, you know, you don't have to get too much detail, but was it pretty quick? I mean, did you guys like realize, oh, you know what? I think we're pretty compatible pretty quick. Or was this something that, you know what? We're in a professional environment. I just want to you know, do my work and not rock the boat or anything like that. I'm just trying to understand how a relationship can evolve in such a chaotic environment. And
oh my
like
God.
That.
Yeah. That's a funny story. Well, no, and I'm happy to be open about it. I mean, when I joined the band, I mean, we definitely had like a friendship chemistry that happened right away. Like and I hope you get to talk to him. I mean, he's a funny, cynical guy. Super friendly, you know. I mean, we come from complete sort of opposite backgrounds in the sense of, you know, I'm kind of a city girl. I have sort of a European upbringing, and he's like very much like the American guy. Like he grew up on a farm. They farm corn and soybeans. You know, he's Southern Ohio, like small town. You know, so it was funny. We had like a really great connection to begin with. But yeah, when I joined the band, he was dating someone. He was in a relationship for a while, and you know, obviously nothing ever happened. We just became really good friends. And, we were just buddies. Like we just got along really well on an intellectual level and just our values and stuff. And it was a period of time where I was getting to know everybody a little bit, but he was definitely the person that I connected with the most, just as a friend. And, you know, over time when a relationship eventually ended and there was a period of a couple of months, and, I think we kind of knew that there was like something more. Like we just had a very deep connection that was sort of one of those, like, I don't know. You don't even necessarily have to talk about it to know that it's there. You know, when I look back now, I'm like, all right. Yeah. I think I knew from like the first moment, I'm like, this person feels like they exist already in my life in a way, you know, it's sort of a weird thing to go back and look at like, all right, what did I feel the first time? But yeah, just it sort of happened organically. And of course, you know, there was this funny period of time where we did start dating, and it's like, well, do we tell the band? And everyone's like, who are you kidding? We knew that this was going to happen all along, you know?
Right. And yeah, they can see it a mile away.
Yeah, like took a little bit. People started calling us Shabrock. Like that was the funny joke among the band. And then, you know, because we would just be hanging out all the time because that's just who we were. You know, and then we got engaged, and like one of his friends slipped it to the band. We were like going to tell everybody, and like, we already know, like, you're not hiding anything from us. So, but yeah, so I guess I think it's a lot more common than people think, you know. Some people might think it's a little bit taboo or like, oh, you know, don't, but you know, it's with anybody. I mean, these people become your family, whether you want it or not. Like, and that's so, like, going back to what I said before, it's like, regardless of how great of a musician you are or whatever, it's like, these are the people that you're living with. You know, you are like seeing them at their worst.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of the time. I mean, when you get to like month two or three, and it's one thing on a bus, but let alone these people. I mean, if you're in a van or if you're in a Sprinter, like you are seeing like some of the darkest of times, you know, when you've been with people nonstop, like in a small tube for several months, you know? Like even as a girl, you're like, I'm not going to get up and put my makeup on for these guys in the morning. Like, I mean, he saw me from day one, like as scary as I'm going to be. That's what he saw, you know? So you're going to be close to the people if you're going to last, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And you guys are being as real as possible. So that's probably the best way to start a relationship. As you mentioned, is it's only up from here basically, because you guys have seen each other at the worst. So that's great. Yeah. Congratulations on that. You guys got married what, this year, last year?
No, it was actually almost two, it was 2 years ago. So
was it? Okay. Sorry.
To 2020. So yeah, we had a weird
COVID. Yeah.
COVID. Well, not even planned, but you know, as a touring musician, you're like, okay, if you're going to get married, then it's like, all right, now I got to figure out when are we not going to tour. So I remember sending Ron a message, because he's always on the front end of knowing what our dates are going to be. And He's like, oh, how about Labor Day week? You know, somehow we settled on Labor Day weekend of 2020. And this was long before any news of the pandemic, you know.
Oh, wow.
And go figure. It's like, I joke, it's like my luck, you know, when I think it's going to be so hard to find a wedding date, lo and behold, you have like two entire years that you could get married, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it was the issue of, well, do we reschedule it or what? So yeah, we got married on his farm. It was outside. It was smaller than we planned, but, you know.
That's nice, though. I mean, that's kind of... You know, I did wedding photography at that time as well. And that's one of the things heavily impacted by the COVID as well.
Yeah.
You know, with all venues being shut down for a year and a half or so and everyone rescheduling and having conflicts with, you know, schedule, all that stuff. So it was very messy. And I sort of decided at that point, I'm not really interested in doing weddings anymore just because of the chaos involved with everything. But yeah, that's really nice. Congratulations. I know it's been a couple of years, but still congratulations. I think that's awesome.
Thank you.
It's nice to see two sane people on the road who are, you know, very talented and very respectful
together.
you hear so many rock and roll stories about weddings and couples on, you know, there were just people that are just kind of, you know, not really mature enough for it or something like that. So it's nice to see people who are, you know, really talented and, you know, well respected in their industry and stuff like that. So I think that's great. So currently when you're on the road, what is your daily activity? What's your daily routine when you're on the road?
So kind of, it depends. So recently we've been kind of alternating between these acoustic tours, which is what we just did. And then the, you know, big show live tours. And then of course there's always support tours that are sprinkled in between. But I mean, basically there's, you know, a bunch of us in the band fall into some different categories. You know, we've got the stoners that like to stay up late and then sleep in late and they're having the snacks late at night. I'm in the gym crew. So it's me, Zuzana, who's the cellist, and then Ron. Occasionally Dustin, I've tried to get Brock onto this crew, but he's not so much a part of it. But we're the ones that every day we get up, regardless of the schedule. You know, if we can, we find the Planet Fitness. We go to the gym, take our shower, because that's what we like to do. You know, and if it's a big headline tour, for example, you know, we might have sound check at like 1 o'clock. If we've got some support acts, they're doing their sound checks after that. So the crew is in there, you know, first thing in the morning, 8 or 9 a.m. loading in. We're doing our sound check at maybe like 12:30, 1 o'clock. And you know, then the support acts will go after that. And then, for all the tours that I've done, when we do the headline tour, we also do a pre-show VIP. So, and ours are pretty extensive. And so the actually on a side note, the acoustic tours are sort of a spin-off of what we already do on the pre-show VIP. So, you know, we'll do a meet and greet. We hang out with people. COVID kind of changed a few things, but we always do like an acoustic set. So we might play 4 or 5 songs. You know, we take pictures. So we've got like about, you know, an hour to an hour and a half of our pre-show VIP. And then there might be like 2 hours in between. And then we go on and do the live show. And, you know, with the most recent rendition of the show, we've got a pretty significant costume preparation. So usually an hour before the show, we're already in the dressing room, like starting to get ready. So yeah, I mean, the headline tours, it's like your day is kind of accounted for, you know, for the most part. Yeah. You know, I personally, if I have the energy, I try to always like warm up and practice a little bit, even if I just do like 30, 40 minutes of technique exercises. But, you know, it's as Adam in the band likes to say, it's easier to have the same office in a different job every day than it is to have the same job in a different office.
Right.
If that makes sense. So touring is a little bit like that. It's like, I can't underestimate how much energy it, and everyone will relate to this, you know, that's a touring musician or whatever. It's, you know, you're getting up every day, and even though your schedule is the same, it's a new city, it's a new climate. Maybe your luggage is packed in the bay and you have to find the bay key and you got to get in there and dig through your stuff to find your other article of clothing that you need, you know, and then you go into the venue and you scope it out. So there's like some extra hours in the day that are just basically like getting the lay of the land. Like, where is the bathroom? Like, does this place have a shower? Like, do I need to go somewhere else to find a shower? Like, is there coffee somewhere? You know, so there's always a little bit of time in the morning of like, just kind of figuring out where you're at. Like more or less for a headline tour, that's how it goes. The acoustic tour that we just did though, super chill. I mean, we were playing at like restaurants and breweries. It was all self-managed, self-booked. I mean, it was like, we would go in, set up, do a sound check, do a full on acoustic performance, hang out with all the fans, take pictures, sign, like an extended, you know, it was like a 2 or 3 hour event.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that was like a totally different thing because it was like, you know, between, let's say 3 and 7 PM, that's what's going on. And then the rest of the day, it's just kind of chill, you know, but, you know, minimal setup, less crew, we're all on one bus. So, you know, depending on the tour, it's every day is a little different, you know.
Equipment wise, between the acoustic tour and the regular tour, are you doing, are you set up differently? Are you using different violins or anything like that? Or are you using pretty much the same, just kind of tuning it down?
No, good question. I mean, so for the longest time on the big tour, I was using, so the violin that I currently have is an old, I mean, it's from the 1800s. It's like a high-end classical violin. And
nice.
I love it, you know, and the sound, I love how it sounds. And, you know, I was putting a pickup on it and I'm like, oh, this is making me a little nervous because it's not meant for a rock show, you know? And then it's like, we're starting to do festivals outside and there's fog and stuff. So I was using that for a long time. And then, I ended up just switching recently to using this violin by a company called The Realist. Mm-hmm. And they're actually the company that makes the pickup that I was using, but they actually now make like an actual violin that's, they've got a couple different series. So I got the Pro series.
Yep.
And it's perfect because it's, you know, it can take a little bit of beating. Like I'm not too worried about it getting, you know, some haze on it or fog or some cryo, whatever. You know, cause it's not a historic instrument and it's the pickup is actually built into the instrument and it's set up in a way that it's meant to sound. So it actually, once it's plugged in with the DI, sounds better than my really nice violin with the Realist pickup on it. Cause it's made for that, you know? So, and it's, you got a little bit of tone control and a volume knob and, it's a little bit easier to sort of calibrate it for that type of setting. So I've been using that for the live show. And then sometimes for the VIP or the acoustic shows, I'll use my instrument because, you know, it's just like playing a classical concert in a sense. I'm just in a room where there's no production and no craziness and the temperature is relatively controlled, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that's the hard thing is you're traveling through all these different climates and through the different, you know, seasons and all that stuff with these instruments and you're in elevated area in Denver and then you're
down in Texas
or whatever.
I mean, it's like, that takes a huge beating on the instrument for sure. So it's hard, you know.
When it comes to live stuff, I would assume, I'm trying to remember, I just saw you guys at the beginning of last year, the first show with Breaking Ben and Seether in New Hampshire. I was at that show. That's the photos I sent you from earlier. When it comes to live stuff, are you able to kind of like, hey, I have an idea for an intro for a piece. Do you guys like, are you able to kind of be a little bit creative with some ideas or is that stuff kind of like, let's just stick to what we have for our set list or anything like that? Or do you guys play around with stuff, anything like that?
We definitely do. And I mean, you know, that's something that's kind of changed over the years because, you know, like, I mean, I've been in the band since 2017, but the cellists have changed a few times. Now we have Zuzana who is, you know, for the foreseeable future, the permanent cellist, you know? And so I think now that with the personnel and like, even just the, our crew and it, like everything has kind of coalesced into what seems like the group, you know, there's been a lot more opening for some freedom, you know, so especially like, you know, and now that we have Corey too, and being more organic and not being so reliant on having to cue certain tracks to fill in stuff and now he actually plays, like there is so much more that we do. So we are always coming up with ideas for interludes or, you know, things that like intros that we can do, segues to kind of keep, you know, cause as you've seen in the show, it's very much an immersive thing and it's kind of nonstop. Like there's very little time in between songs and the idea is for it to be sort of a continuous like experience, you know? So it's been awesome. I think definitely having Corey now just being able to play the synths or like another instrumentalist that can do something off the grid.
Yeah.
You know, we've had a lot more freedom to do, throw in ideas. I mean, the last couple tours, like I remember one time we were rehearsing for a headline tour and I was just like in the rehearsal space jamming some AC/DC and Dustin was like, oh, do that. Like, let's make that a thing.
Yeah.
And after one of our songs, I would do like the riff from Thunderstruck and we made like a whole thing and the guys were playing the drums and, you
that
know,
stuff's always, awesome. Yeah,
yeah. We're always coming up with like, or sometimes I'll throw in like a subtle classical thing, or we'll do like a, most recently we've had in our second set, we do an outfit change and the guys now have to get into a spacesuit in like 6 minutes, which is like, they used to take 30 minutes to put it on. So now it's like a stretch, right? So right. Z, the cellist, and I will go up and we do like a little kind of violin cello duel, and we have Corey playing stuff on the piano or the synth. And there's, yeah, over the years, there's been a lot more of that, which has been super cool.
Yeah. And I think I remember, I think I heard Dustin say that you guys were doing a lot of back-to-back shows for a long extended period of time on the, I don't think it was this year, but the previous, maybe it was acoustic show. I don't remember which one it was. And me being a singer, I would be like, all right, you guys take as long as you want to do some instrumental stuff. Give my voice a rest a little bit, you know, here and there.
Yeah. 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 We're always like, you know, anytime we have, especially festival shows or something where we need to change a set list, or there's like a lot of songs in a row, they're like a vocal strain. Like, I mean, having that's what's great about having string players, you know, it's like, back in the day, we used to use it for when there were tech failures. Like if the emulator broke down or something blew up, it's like, all right, well, string, you know, I would hear in my ears, the sound guy, string people, play something, you know, and the audience thinks it's part of the show, which was, thank God, you know, like we don't want to give it away, but
right.
That's the nice thing about not being glued to electric instruments necessarily, you know?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, you guys, I'm trying to remember, but I feel like I don't remember. It's been, I've done so many shows this in 2022, so I don't remember all the shows, but I feel like you guys were doing some really cool in between parts, in between songs and stuff like that, but I just can't remember what it was. And I was just like, man, if there's a band that could do some crazy cool stuff in between, you guys would be the one, definitely.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Well, I mean, what's great about the albums too, is there's like the interludes are a huge part of it, you know, as well. So we always are trying to incorporate that in, you know, as much of a way within the live show as well. So, I mean, we put them in different placements. They don't always follow the songs that they're originally after on the album, but we try to use that in the live show, 'cause that's part of the vibe, you know?
Yep. Yep. Let's talk about the writing process. I know that Dustin was the original creator for the first album. And I think he's the primary writer for everything. Are you involved with the writing process or the recording process at all?
I am not. So when I joined, there was already two albums, so I was completely out of that altogether. But yeah, Dustin is the primary creative director, I would say. I mean, he's obviously, he's writing the melodies and the vocals. He's an excellent lyricist. He does work with producers and other writers and collaborates. And so, yeah, there's sort of a rotating team of different people that are involved depending on the album. Some have been produced by others. Some have been produced by him. In terms of the recording process, so my first time recording on a Star Set song was the most recent song that we did with Breaking Ben.
Oh, well, nice. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Kind of change. Yeah.
Yep. So, that's awesome.
Yeah. So prior to that, and you know, I mean, if you were to take out all of the guitars and the vocals and everything, I mean, Star Set is very, very orchestral. So you can't, it's difficult to accomplish that with just two string players, you know? And that was when we did this song with Breaking Ben, that was interesting because we were recording that while we were on tour with them. And we were trying to sort of emulate an orchestral score with just a violinist and a cellist, you know? So for the most part in the prior albums, there have been like studio, like orchestral sessions more or less where, you know, I believe a lot of it's been done in Nashville. Dustin could say more about that than I can, but, depending on who's producing the album or writing a lot of the string parts, you know, then it goes and it gets recorded like in a room with like multiple players at once, 'cause that's the most organic way to do it to get that sound.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, obviously when we bring it live, you know, everything has to be adapted for just one violinist and one cellist, but I haven't been hugely involved in the recording or writing process, but you know, it was a turning point, I think, this year to be involved in that song and to sort of be behind the scenes and actually like, you know, help arrange the string parts and work on that and record it. And it was super awesome. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was working with Sahaj of the band Raw a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying he was currently working on producing some stuff for you guys, I think.
Yeah. Sahaj and Dustin are great friends and they work together a lot. And I know they've written together on a lot of different things. So, he's been involved on some prior Star Set songs. So that's what's cool. I mean, it's taken me years to get to know Dustin the way I do now. And he's like an onion, you know, you got to keep peeling away the layers to figure out like his brain. Yeah. But, I've started to learn all the different people that he's worked with. And now that I've met a lot of these people and them coming out to shows on tour, I start to hear like, okay, you know, it's like you can hear the songs that like Rob Graves did, you know, and like you kind of start to get a feel for like the touch that each different person he works with has put on some of these things. And that's cool. Yeah. So I've heard a lot about Sahaj and, you know, met him a few times.
So do you know what's next for Starset?
So the next album is in the works, being primarily directed by Dustin. So up to him when it gets finished. So no release date as of yet. We are going to Europe in the end of February. So it's a tour that's been rescheduled many times because of COVID. So we're finally going back. Haven't been there in a few years now.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Which is great. And then, other than that, I mean, a lot of it, I think, will hinge on the completion of the next album and perhaps no other tours are announced as of now, you know, but who knows, we might end up on a support tour if, you know, start working on a headline tour for when we have an album release date. So yeah, new music is kind of the deal now. And the song with Breaking Ben has been doing really well. So
that's a great song.
Cool. Yeah. Hopefully we'll get to play it live one of these days. We did just an acoustic tour through, you know, this last year up until about Thanksgiving, and the Europe headline is the next thing. And other than that, TBD.
Yeah. Well, cool. Yeah. I'll be waiting. I'm a huge, huge Starset fan. So I'm really excited about this. So I'm super thankful for you to do this with us. Let me just ask you real quick about your podcast. So the 2020 podcast is something you guys started in 2020. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So that's actually, it was a spinoff of one of my other projects called Lost Symphony, which a whole story behind that. But long story short, I got involved in this sort of a symphonic metal collective called Lost Symphony, produced by my friends, Benny Goodman, his brother Brian, and then Corey Paza. So Benny and Corey are my co-hosts on 2020. But we had done this music project for many years together. And, you know, as a collective featuring a lot of guitar players, you know, 2020 came around, we were working on some music and we're like, you know, how about we do a podcast as a way to, you know, embrace the pandemic culture and keep people engaged via video of like, you know, get people to hopefully listen to our music, you know, and meanwhile, it turned into this whole other thing. But it just basically started as a podcast where we were just going to interview the people that had been on the project because we had so many different cool personalities and musicians. So what started as sort of an experiment turned into like a whole brand of its own. And, you know, it's fun. We joke, we're like, oh, it's kind of like our LinkedIn at this point, you know, because every time we interview somebody, inevitably we learn about somebody else and it connects us to somebody else. And it's been really cool to take on the interviewer role and like not be a musician for a moment and try and like learn from other musicians and hear other people's stories. Basically for anyone listening to this, I guess, you know, if you check out Lost Symphony 2020, they're sort of like partner brands all involved together. But
Lost Symphony, people can go like on iTunes or wherever and get your albums?
Yeah. So we're on more iTunes, YouTube, Spotify. We have three albums out, chapters 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
It's very, sort of epic, cinematic, definitely more on the metal side. There's no vocals, so it's instrumental.
Very technical.
More of a niche thing. But over time, you know, just like with everything, we've kind of settled into our sound. So I think we're working on new music right now as well. Not sure if it'll be an album or like a series of singles or like sort of an EP type thing, I guess in the age of technology now, you can kind of be on a music project with anyone. So, I mean, most of us don't even live in the same place, you know, half the guys are in Boston, some of these guitar players live in Japan or wherever, you know, they're all over the place. So,
I think, Benny, he's in Boston, right?
Yep, Benny's in Boston. Yeah. Corey's also in Boston, a little bit outside.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. I think we've probably been at similar shows because I do a lot of New England photos.
I'm sure.
I work for Live Nation, a couple of venues around New England, so I'm sure. Well, that's great. 2020, 2020-D.com, right?
Yeah, 2020-D.com. That's the podcast. And then, yeah, Lost Symphony, you can find it everywhere.
Yep. And it's the unofficial Star Set podcast, is the way Benny keeps calling it, right?
That's right. Well, yeah. So when we're low on guests, sometimes we're like, let's get Star Set. But that's right, it. Right. I mean, thank goodness for the fan. I mean, we have amazing fans that, like, there is, anytime any one of us comes on, it's like, I feel like everybody enjoys it. And even at these acoustic tours, people were like, it's so great to hear everybody's stories. And
oh yeah,
it's cool because, I mean, music is like, it's sort of an enigmatic world. You know, it's like we see people in their personas on stage. And I think at the end of the day, we all want to know who those people are, you know? So that's the beauty of podcasting, is we get to peek behind the curtain, you know, and see like what's the brain behind this persona that you see, you know, and right, this music that you listen to.
Yeah, it's very interesting. A lot of really, I mean, I thought Ron's episodes were really, really good. Just learning about Ron's knowledge and experience.
Oh yeah, he's like, he blows my mind every time. I'm like, I was thinking we're going to struggle for like another 2 hours with Ron, and it's like, nope, absolutely not. Just like,
there's so much there. Yeah, great. I know you got to run. I just want to ask you a couple quick questions. What is your you have a Netflix list? What are you watching? What are you listening to today?
Oh my gosh! Wow. Yeah, it's I oscillate between like documentaries and like total trash TV, which I think just might be a girl thing. Yeah.
Sometimes those blend too.
You know, I mean, it's with Netflix tough. I find that it's harder and harder to find good things on Netflix. Sure. Just or because
you don't have to use Netflix. You can use whatever, you know, whatever service you want.
What have I been watching on Netflix recently? I will say, I mean, not Netflix at all, but I actually watched, as someone who's like a huge Beatles fan, I watched a fantastic documentary, and I wish I could remember the name, but it was about the time that the Beatles spent in India. Oh, and I'll have to find the name and send it to you, but
yeah,
I think that's like a highly recommended for anyone to watch that. I'm super into musician documentaries, to be honest.
There's a lot of good ones, yeah.
Yeah, on Netflix, I remember on the bus, we watched the one about Metallica when they were writing Saint Anger. And, you know, I didn't grow up listening to Metallica, but getting into the rock world and then realizing how much of an influence they were on people, I was like, I got to learn more about this band and listen to it.
It's a lot of great ones, a lot of really good documentaries. I recently watched the one on 30 Seconds to Mars.
Okay.
That was actually really good, how all the financial situations they went through during that album making, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
Yeah.
Stuff.
And I'll say, I mean, for podcasts, actually, to give a shout out to a fellow friend, Alex Skolnick from Testament. He's got a great podcast called Moods and Modes. He's been on 2020 with us, and I'm listening to his podcast all the time. He's like will blow your mind with his intelligence. So that's something I would recommend for people to listen to, especially if they're into music, guitar, you know, super awesome. Interesting. And then music, a little bit of everything. I'm, as I was as a kid, moody, you know, like it's either classical music. Sometimes I'm listening to jazz. I listen to like singer songwriter stuff. I listen to pop. I listen to a little bit of everything. So hard to pinpoint one thing or another.
That's great. I mean, you learn so much from so many different variations of things.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Let me ask you one last final question that I ask everyone as a photographer. You're on stage, you're getting your photos taken, you're getting people tagging you and stuff. As a person who's on stage, as an artist, what do you like and what don't you like with photographers taking your photos? Do you have any, because a lot of people are like, I don't want guitar mouth or, you know, all that sort of stuff. Do you have any preferences? Do you have any suggestions?
That's a great question. I've never been asked that. And it's so funny because, of course, like Z and I, she's a cellist, as girls, we're always looking, you know, with the Instagram, like zooming in, like, oh, what can you see in this photo?
Right.
I don't know. You know, I wouldn't say, I don't want to give any preference because I appreciate the artistry of every photographer. And I think what they think is a beautiful shot is a beautiful shot. And we're all going to be self-conscious in our own ways, you know, about what we want to see of ourselves or whatnot.
Sure.
And honestly, it's probably best for me to see every angle because that's, you know, whatever I want to work on, I got to see it.
Right.
There's always a lot of the times, to be honest, it's not the photographers. I'll see something and I'll think, oh, I should talk to the lighting director because this, maybe we need to like change this because this is not a flattering light in this situation. You know, like sometimes we've been like, we'll go up and we have some pretty exposed outfits in the first half of the show. And, you know, sometimes we'll go up on rises and there's like lighting coming up from underneath. And it's just like, that's just, it's just not a good way to be seen lit from underneath, you know,
right.
See a photo and you're like, oh, that's not a good photo. And it's like, no, it's really just the lighting.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Lighting changes everything, as I have set up here. Lighting changes everything.
Yeah. No. And props to you, because I mean, Starset, I can imagine, is an incredibly difficult band to photograph because it's a lot of darkness. You know, there's a lot of backlight, like, and I don't know a lot about photography, but you know, I can imagine it's an incredibly difficult thing to capture, but I've been super impressed by some of the photos I've seen, yours included, of course, you know, just the captures that people have gotten. And, you know, if there's anything that's ever bothered me, normally it's momentary. And I go back and I'm like, wow, I'm really glad that photo exists. So,
right.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. No criticisms. I'm not going to guide anyone in any direction.
Good to know. Yeah. It's usually guitarists will say, just try not to do guitar face. You know, when they're doing their lead,
that's who they are. You know, yeah. I mean, I think that's some of the greatest photos. It's like, and I've had to accept that with myself over the years. It's like, you know, it's, if this is who I am and this is how I play and this is how I look, that's who I am, you know, let it be captured because it won't exist again. You know?
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much. Where do people go to find you on the socials?
Yeah. So I am, Siobhan_violin. So it's SIOBHAN_violin on Instagram. My website is SiobhanCronin.com and I have links to my social media there. You know, Facebook is Siobhan Violin. If you just search Siobhan Starset, Siobhan Violin, Siobhan Cronin, you'll find me on Google, basically everywhere. I'm also on YouTube. So, working on trying to do some of my more independent stuff as well, taking what I've learned from my many years of rock, electronic, classical, and hopefully we'll fuse it one day into the Siobhan world.
Do you have anything you've started with yet, or is that just a future plan?
Yeah, just a future plan. I mean, just, it's more curiosity and exploration, just trying to learn about, like, trying to explore what is it that I like as a person, you know, in music, because I've always been on the edge of someone else's project, which I love, you know, that's been great. It's been how I've learned. That's been my musical education. So now is the era of learning, you know, what is my voice, you know, as an independent person, and, you know, it'll happen in tandem with all the other things. I'm not going anywhere, you know, Starset's my thing and Lost Symphony and all that. So
and you're surrounded by a lot of great resources to pull from too, if you need to.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm super grateful for that. So it's been cool. I've learned a lot from just seeing how it all works and how it all comes together. So, but yeah, you can find me anywhere. And yeah, please, I try to read all my messages. So if anyone listens to this and they want to talk, just hit me up, hit my DMs, as they say, cool. As the kids say.
Well, I'm a huge fan. I'm very thankful for you to join me tonight. I'm so glad that we did this. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. No, I really appreciate it. It's been an honor.
Hey, thanks for watching part two with our guest, Siobhan from Starset. Hope you enjoyed it. You can check out our other episodes and our other guests on all your favorite podcast locations. You also can watch on YouTube by searching for Tales from the Pit podcast. Check out our website, talesfromthepit.net. I'm Jason, and I hope you'll join us on the next one. This episode was edited and produced by me, Jason Levasseur. Visit talesfromthepit.net for more episodes just like this.
It literally just was like, while I was touring, I started taking photos of all these cool places that I was in, and little by little was like, oh, let me like just, what is contrast? Like, what is saturation? Like, what are these things that I can edit these photos? And so I started like trying to take better photos and started editing them a little bit on my phone. And then in 2018, when we had a break between tours and we were working on the Defy album with Otherwise, I had some time at home. So I was like, I'm one that I don't like feeling stagnant or like I'm plateauing. So I always have to like be busy. And I knew that we wouldn't be touring for a bit. So I was like, well, let me invest into a camera. And I'm out hiking and doing all these things in the beautiful Utah mountains when I'm not on tour anyway. So like, let me kind of like try a little bit to get more into that and just take some photos while I'm out. And I didn't have any intention of showing anybody necessarily. I just wanted to do it for me.
Yep.